To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. You can find me online at MikeLuoma.com, that's MikeLuoma.com, or at GlowInTheDarkRadio.com. There's also AlibiJones.com and VaticanAssassin.com. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter as well, AfterThere.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma. And we have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/GlowInTheDarkRadio. You can sign up for my mailing list on most of those sites at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com and the Facebook page. When you sign up for the mailing list, you get the exclusive Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. That's an anthology of my stuff that's not available anywhere else. And some of the things that are in there you can't find anywhere else. You only get it when you sign up for my mailing list. And I did just send out a new email in the last week or so. Well, this podcast is going up a little bit late. Did not get it done before Christmas, so had to wait through the holiday. Now I'm getting it up here on the 26th. And the adventures of Alibi Jones continue on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi isn't accustomed to failing, but his latest assignment did not end well. The Solar Alliance Mediation Corps sent him to the water world of Kier to negotiate with aquatic aliens the Kiklik. But the Kiklik are already under the expanding influence of the alliance of reptilian races known as the Greater Ta. And the Greater Ta do not like humankind. They find us disorderly. They do like their order. Which means them in charge, naturally. So the Kiklik rejected Alibi's overtures just when it looked like they were about to sign an agreement of understanding. Now Alibi has to return to SA Mediation Corps headquarters, and face the music. It's not going to be pretty. Find out what happens next in Chapter 15 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. In the news, we are in the middle of the holiday season. Happy late Hanukkah, happy belated solstice, merry late Christmas, now that we're past it. Happy Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa just began today. Joyous Festivus, whatever you celebrate, I hope you have a good one, and that you get to celebrate with the people you want to celebrate with. In honor of the holiday season, Smashwords has a sale going on, and I have some of my ebooks as much as 75% off, 50 to 75% off through January 1st at smashwords.com. Just go to Smashwords and look up Mike Luoma, MikeLuoma, to get my books. Or follow the link in the show notes. And as I mentioned earlier, I did finally send out an email to my email list. It's been a couple months, but that went out last Thursday morning. So check your spam filters if you are on the list and haven't seen it. If you haven't opened it yet, there's good reason to. There's a lot of stuff in there. Wished everyone happy holidays and previewed what I have coming out for the first few months, the first quarter of 2018. I have a few things going on. We're going to be seeing Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, issue 4 of 4, in January. And then soon after that, we'll have the graphic novel itself, in both digital and print. Good Samaritan Unto Dust number 2 is coming out as well. And that's only a two-part story, so the graphic novel or collected version of that will be out pretty soon after. Now, if you haven't signed up for my email list yet, there's some good reasons to join. All the details on all this stuff are in the email. Of course, if you haven't opened it yet, open it. Or sign up for it today. Up next, I've got Chapter 15 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Now, here's Chapter 15 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Failure!
Brandywine's voice rings in Alibi's memory.
I let them convince me. You should be given this chance. Your stellar reputation! Ha!
The woman relished the opportunity to take him down. The collapse of the negotiations with the Key Click gave her the chance. She laughed off his recommendations on the Greater Ta as elaborate ass covering. They won't get passed up to Central Command. Publicly, the Greater Ta claim Alibi misinterpreted the wishes of the Key Click. Brandywine demoted him, revoked his flight privileges, and stripped him of his cruiser. Then she reassigned him to Sloan, a human outpost in Flay's territory, for the next 6 months. No more assignment on Cat's Eye for Alibi. He's forced to lock up his apartment for the time being, sealing it for future use, hopefully. Alibi is now en route to his new assignment as Trade Inspector for the Mediation Corps on Sloan, not quite technically even inside of the Solar Alliance. His Aunt Anita told him even her hands were tied. She'd done all she could for him. He's on his own.
Here I thought the Greater Ta were a threat to the Solar Alliance. Silly me. Turns out they're just out to destroy my career. 6 months. 6 months in the backest backwater Brandywine could find for me. Can't wait to get there.
Left relying on commercial flights, it takes Alibi 3 transspace jumps to get to Sloan. The last leg is the worst, on a small freighter also carrying livestock. The smell of the animals and their wastes permeates everything on the small ship. The only thing worse is the odor of the atmosphere of Sloan when he finally arrives.
You get used to it, one of the crew assures Alibi as he disembarks.
Alibi's nose wrinkles up at the olfactory assault.
Sulfur works and methane volcanoes. Nice place, the woman from the crew says with a laugh. It's not so bad in the town itself. They built the spaceport right next to one of the sulfur works, but it's better up in the settlement.
Great. I've got to work here at the port, Alibi tells her.
Ew, she groans with some sympathy in her voice. Sorry.
Thanks, I guess, he says. Do you know where the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Forces base is located?
Follow your nose, she jokes. It's over there. She points off to her left. Right next to the sulfur works.
Thanks, he nods.
Who did you piss off? She asks,
as Alibi begins to walk off towards the safe office.
My boss, he explains over his shoulder as he leaves.
Nice boss, she says. Sarcasm heavy in her tone. Alibi turns and walks backwards so he can finish his thought facing her.
Hey, good luck getting the livestock stench off your ship.
She laughs.
Touché. Guess both of our bosses have us in the stink.
Alibi wheels back around and walks on towards his new assignment. Alibi's first 2 months on Sloan go by slowly. There's not a lot of traffic at the distant outpost. His job on Sloan isn't hard. Just monotonous. He's a pencil pusher, a glorified cargo inspector. He certifies that people are following the rules the Mediation Corps negotiated into place. Sloan is outside of Solar Alliance space, yet Alibi finds himself enforcing laws he himself helped to create.
Brandywine probably did that on purpose, too. The failure of those negotiations with the Key Click was not my fault. The SA should have known the Greater Ta were there, willing to scuttle anything we came up with the Key Click. Bet Brandywine knew the Greater Ta were there. Almost certain she set me up on purpose so she could finally punish me. Fucking bitch.
Alibi punches the clock and does his best to keep a low profile, trying to serve out his time and punishment and hoping to get used to the smell of the place. Drinking at the local dive bar seems to help.
That's bullshit. We're just plain wishful thinking,
the old guy sitting next to him at the bar says to Alibi.
Still not used to it, he says. You never get used to it. Don't care what they told you. You kind of adapt to it, but it's always there.
The Sloan Saloon is a seedy but friendly human haunt in the town, the small human settlement on the planet Sloan. Alibi found it during his first week on the planet and quickly became a regular. He's taken to spending most of his after-work hours at the place. Feels a little like an after-school club for grown-ups. The old guy is new in the place, or at least new to Alibi.
How long have you been here?
The man asks Alibi.
2 months.
Used to it yet?
Not really, Alibi says. Maybe for a second until I think about it. Then I smell it again.
See?
The gray-haired man drains his pint glass with a final gulp and hits up the bartender for another.
You from around here? Alibi asks him. Haven't seen you here at the saloon before.
Oh, look who thinks he's a regular!
The old man laughs.
I stop in here every time I get to Sloan. Which is more often than I'd like. This place stinks.
He laughs again at his own mild joke. There's something about the guy that seems sort of familiar to Alibi. Alibi finds himself staring at the guy, trying to figure out why.
You're doing it, aren't you?
The old man challenges him.
Doing what?
Trying to figure out where you know me from,
the man explains.
Aren't you?
Have we met?
Alibi asks him.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Name's Brady Thomas. Ring a bell?
The gray-haired man straightens up and stops squinting. Alibi notices there's makeup on his face. He sees past it to the man he'd met on Depot.
I didn't recognize you at all, he exclaims, surprised.
The man smiles, then grimaces.
Helping you out was a big mistake, kid, Thomas tells him. I can't go anywhere near Depot now. Even Cat's Eye is off limits. Killer and Singh have a lot of friends there, too. So I've been out here in the borderlands, in disguise.
What are you doing these days, Brady? Alibi asks.
Whatever I need to, Brady says. Repossessing things, people sometimes. Kind of a combination private investigator and bounty hunter these days.
Nice gig, Alibi cracks, sarcastic.
And you're working here? Thomas points out. Don't think you should be talking so much about what other people do for a living. Just saying.
Okay, touche, Alibi concedes. So, you still kill people?
Hey!
Thomas protests, pushing himself up and away from Alibi.
Don't be so nosy, kid.
The man turns in anger and begins to leave the bar, stopping just long enough to call back to the bartender.
Charge my account, tender.
Gotcha, the bartender replies. He looks from the departing Brady Thomas back over to Alibi.
Drink up, kid. You're done for tonight.
What? You're cutting me off?
Alibi protests.
Don't push it. Don't want to have to ban you, kid,
the bartender cautions. Go home. And don't ask strangers so many questions from now on. Not in here, anyway. That ain't a healthy practice here on Sloan. Alibi sighs as he stands up.
He's not a strange...
Fine. Charge my account, he tells the bartender. Please, he adds, thinking twice about it. Sorry. Alibi sulks home, calling it an early night.
I hate this place.
Instead of hitting the saloon, he goes straight home after work the next few evenings. He doesn't feel like it's quite as much his after-school club since the bartender took Thomas's side. Sitting at home gives him too much time to think about getting off Sloan, too much time to contemplate the failure of the negotiations with the key click.
Aunt Anita says just put up with it for now. Tells me she's working on it.
Not everyone sees the Greater Ta as a threat, Alibi. Even those in the government who do don't necessarily admit it. Not in public, at any rate. We are still hoping to negotiate with them. They seem to understand the concept of negotiation better than the Tekta did.
Funny how vividly I still hear my aunt in my head. I don't like the Greater Ta. Don't trust them either. Their rage for order. Blame them for the failure of the negotiations. Blame them for the breakdown. No, I take it back. Blame Brandywine. Woman hates me and set me up to fail, obviously. And blame everyone who doesn't see the threat posed by the Greater Ta. Still hear the Greater Ta in my head pretty clearly, too.
The human propensity for disorder is troubling to the Greater Ta. Your race's chaotic ways have been a disorderly influence upon the Dakur.
Grave news breaks across known space at the end of the week. The actions of the Greater Ta vindicate Alibi and his warnings. Not that most people care about him and his career in light of events. While Alibi appreciates the fact that his failure on Kier is now put in perspective, he too is more appalled to hear of the Greater Ta's latest astropolitical move. The Greater Ta has forcibly annexed Dakur space.
That was Chapter 50 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi is stuck on the backwater planet, the world of Sloan, thanks to the Key Click, the Greater Ta, and Brandywine. And Brady Thomas showed up, wild, using his old acting skills to hide out after helping Alibi back on Depot, and getting Alibi thrown out of the saloon at the same time. Find out how Alibi survives his exile on Sloan on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio with Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her. A reminder, Smashwords has its year-end sale going on through January 1st, its holiday sale. You can get my ebooks from 50 to 75% off at Smashwords. There's a link in the show notes, or just go to smashwords.com and search for Mike Luoma, M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. And remember to sign up for my email list so you can find out about all the stuff that's going on. And that's going to do it for this episode. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.